Hello there and welcome to the A to D Talk Show, where we talk about controversial issues and deliberate on them. We believe that the world is like a coin and it is best to see both sides of it. So come on, join us as we agree to disagree.
So welcome to A to D Talk Show. This is a place where we agree to disagree. We talk about controversial issues and we deliberate on them and coherently and cogently to come to something that we believe will be true. And we leave it to your own decision. So today we're going to be talking about transgenderism and the church. And the person who is going to talk about this is Ernest Olufemi Olusanya, AWS cloud engineer and a disciple, and he's one of the smartest people I know, I mean, on the spiritual part and, you know, career-wise. Ernest, it's good to have you. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. It's a privilege.
Yeah. So just to, so we do not have issues. This is going to go for 20 minutes and Ernest are going to be talking about transgenderism and the church, and there will be 10 minutes for people to ask their questions. Please, whatever question you want to ask, put it on the chat, and then we have allocated 10 minutes to answer your questions. So let's begin. Now, Ernest, we have a very serious issue at hand, a very controversial one, about transgenderism and the church. And what is your overall take on transgenderism and the transgenderism as it is, and the church as it is, not together, just.
Okay. So yeah, thank you for this opportunity to discuss this. And I think it's always a good time where we can get to go deep into matters like this. But I'll throw it out there early enough now and let you know that I'm not an expert on any of both sides. I'm not an expert on the topic of transgenderism. And, you know, I'm sadly not also I don't know everything there is to know about the church. But the little things I do know, I'll try to share with us today. So let's talk about transgenderism. 50 years ago, it wasn't really a big topic.
Yeah.
What am I saying? 20 years ago, it was just, you know, it wasn't a big thing.
Yeah.
But we've come to a time now where it's gaining increasing cultural traction. You hear the name Bruce Jenner, you know what we're talking about. You know, you hear about a lot of people who have made sex changes. And, you know, now that we have social media to spread it like wildfire, everybody is hearing about this. So what is transgenderism, first of all? I mean, the word itself, trans, first part of the word trans just means a change, you know, a change. And then the second part is gender. And I think a lot of people mix transgenderism with things like homosexuality, and that I think that's an issue I have to bring up quickly.
And also they also miss it with transsexual,
right?
So you can go on.
Okay. Yeah, so I think first of all, let's define some terms. So I don't know if you've ever known, but gender and sex are two different words. They're not synonyms. I know in class, you know, or in forms, say, what's your sex? What's your gender? So according to the dictionary and definition, sex is about biological makeup.
Yeah.
Gender, still according to dictionary, has to do with a societal positioning of a certain person based on sex, based on other things. So there's just a slight difference there. So gender is basically what society, you know, and that's why you hear things like gender roles and stuff like that, right? But sex has to do with biological makeup, all right? So those are the differences. And so quickly to just go back to the difference between, you know, transgenderism and maybe homosexuality or any of these other issues that are coming up.
Yeah.
I think this is how I like to say it. Transgenderism has to do with how, like, who, let me say it this way. While homosexuality may deal with who you sleep with.
Yeah, who you're attracted to.
Yeah, transgenderism is more like who you think you are, yeah, or who you sleep as.
Yeah.
Like I say it that way. So yeah, that's I feel that's a good introduction for transgenderism. The church. Now the church is, and when I say church, I'm speaking about the Christian church.
Yeah.
Because the word church is another general term. Again, it's the church of Satan and all these things. But I'm speaking in terms of the Christian church. And the Christian church is basically a body of people from all tribes, nations, cultures, gender, sex, every single person coming together under the leadership of the one and only Christ Jesus. Yeah. So it's a people called out to be a part of a family, and they're called the church. And this church is built on a foundation of principles. There's a doctrine that they build, that they hold to, and a way of life that they hold to. So yeah, I hope that's a good
That's good. But you said something about the church being built upon principles and laws and I believe faith too. Is there any principle in the church that speaks directly and opposite and in opposite direction towards the whole concept of transgenderism? Because just to corroborate your point, according from Google, transgenderism is a person who is relating to a person whose sense of personal identity and gender does not correspond with their birth sex. So people who in their orientation as a man feel like, you know what, I don't think I'm a man, right? Now, when they get medical assistance to, change their sex, that's when they become transsexual. Now, so this is where the misconception of people are born with the feeling of not being the sex, right? Now, so my question is there any principle, I mean, unequivocal principle in the Christian faith, in the church, that speaks directly against transgenderism?
Okay, that's a good question. So your question is about directly speaking against. Yes. One thing you find out in the scriptures is that there are basic foundational things that are spoken clearly about. And as time and technology and different things start to grow, the fundamental principle still remains the same. So for example, in God's way of showing to the Jews at the time in the Old Testament that if you're a man, I want you to be a man, and if you're a woman, I want you to be a woman, we see laws like men should not wear women's clothing. Women should not be dressed.
That is in the Old Testament, right?
Yeah. I'm building on something.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the church is not just random. The church, it has a history to it. So I don't just want to say, hey, this is... So that's what we see as God revealing himself to them in the Old Testament, right? Yeah. He's telling them, hey, this is how I want things to be. I don't want anything that will confuse anyone when they look at you. Because when God created man and woman at the very beginning, that's all we see that he created and called them human.
Yeah.
Right. That distinction is part of his glory. Okay. God wants to be glorified in the uniqueness of a man and the uniqueness of a woman.
Okay.
So that's the first foundation to build. Like that is from creation. Yeah. Now we come to the church, and the church is founded on apostles, prophets, you know, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone. Yeah. Basically, these apostles give us teachings. Yeah. And one of the interesting words that Paul used when he was defining the works of the flesh was the word effeminate.
Okay.
And that word has a lot of things to it. Just like the word porneia, when it says sexual immorality, porneia in the Greek means every kind of sexual immorality. But effeminate is a different word. Effeminate speaks to a person trying actively to be as another sex.
Okay. So it speaks directly to the sex.
Yes, you are basically born in a set, like you're born male, you have male organs, you have all the things that make you a male, and then you try to change in any form, in any way, you know, to change that personality to that of the other sex. That's what is being referred to there. So I think, just to really draw a line there, to the church clearly, based on history and based on what we have from the apostles, there has to be a clear distinction between male and female.
Okay. So very good point, Ennis. But again, this is one of the most daring questions. And if someone who is a transsexual or who is a transgender goes for a medical assistance and becomes transsexual, now what just happened is medical, is biological, right? It is the same thing as someone who has a bad liver, right? And you go, I'm not saying it's the same thing, but people think it's the same thing as someone has a bad liver and they go to a bad organ and they go to the doctor and then
for a transplant change it.
Yeah, for a transplant and change. And the question is, if this is all that it is, I mean, medical stuff, there is nothing outside it. It is just, I feel like I'm not a man. I feel like, and they feel like they are not a man. They feel like they are female. They go for a medical, medical assistance and they become who they desire to be, right? Now, the question is there any distinctive difference with you trying to enhance either your body or making a surgery and you just trying to change your organs? Because again, transgenderism is just changing the reproductive organs.
Right. So that's the thing. Interestingly, and I want to start by saying that example you used, you know, if you go for a liver transplant, it's a liver transplant.
Yeah.
You're not changing your liver to a kidney. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just on one end. But at the same time, I think it's good to think deeply about this.
Yeah.
Transgenderism is, there's a fundamental issue there.
Yeah.
That doesn't distinguish them from the whole human race.
Okay. Yeah, we are getting there, but yeah, I agree with you.
And I'm saying this for a reason.
Yeah.
Because how do I know that I should be, let me not go too far, but I'm a man, right? Yeah. Is there any way I can know how a woman is or how a woman feels? Can I truly know? I mean, all I have is societal norms or feminine things that the society tells me, this is what it means to be feminine. You go to another culture, the same woman, same form, but there's a different way they think about feminism.
Okay. So hold on. You're saying that this mindset, this femininity, feeling, this mm-hmm. feeling is due to the society.
Yeah. For example, yeah, it's there's a part of society that informs that. For example, you know, everyone can almost agree that when you see a girl playing with a doll, we assume that's normal.
Okay.
But when we see a boy child playing with a doll, we are like, something is wrong. He's a woman inside. How do we come to that conclusion? No. You see?
Okay. Yeah.
So, let me just stop there.
I mean, so that we do not, because we have approximately 17 minutes. So we go straight to how this and the church plays. Now, this is it. The church doesn't agree with the whole scope of transgenderism, like you said. But then someone feels, someone who's a transgender who feels that he's a male, he's a male, but he's a female, and kind of, you know, becomes a transsexual, seeks medical assistance, becomes a transsexual. Now, returns back to the faith, the church. I mean, becomes born again, gets life, I mean, you know, receives salvation. If receives salvation, does that state of being a transsexual somehow, or does it impede his salvation state, or is it a casting? Oh, once you're transgender, see, no heaven for you, nothing for you. See, you know what? In short, you're out. Just to add to this, right? Many people, okay, I'll have you answer that, then we go further.
Okay, so let me just start by saying that that's a very good question, Kelechi. And it's a question that I have struggled with for a long time, because not only am I just speaking about this whole thing, I've encountered a few transgender people, one of whom has not done any sex change.
Yeah.
And another that has. So it's like I've seen both sides. I don't have really deep personal relationships with them. But one thing that is common is they're human beings.
Yeah.
That go through the same things that we all go through, just in a different way for them.
Yeah.
You know? And one thing, when we try to bring the church into this as a topic now, we need to realize that the church is a collection of broken people who are suffering in some way, be it in trying to, you know, find out who they really are. Identity is a general issue. It's a general issue. You know, some people struggle with body image. Yeah. It doesn't need to be a sexual thing. Just, I don't like what I look like. Or some people actually go through health issues. Some are born with health issues.
Yeah.
And some, what makes us all unified as one, makes us all the same, is the problem of sin. We're all sinners by nature.
Yeah.
We're born into it. And so people might have different expressions of that.
Yeah.
So for one person, they love to steal a lot. They just love to steal. But you don't love to steal. But your own is you like to watch pornography.
Yeah.
Another person's issue is I'm struggling with who I am on the inside. So it's just different expressions of this brokenness that Paul explains in Romans 8. So the church has to respond this way. Number one, we're not different from you.
Yeah.
We're all saved by the same grace. Okay?
You're saying the soul who is transsexual is not different.
They're fundamentally not different. They're human. I should even be saying that. That sounds weird.
Okay. So, yes, they are human. Definitely they are human. But you're saying that in the lens of Christianity, in the lens of the Christian faith, they are the same people.
Yes, just like every other sinner that got saved.
If they are saved. So you're saying that being in that transsexual state doesn't in any way stop the... salvation is supernatural because I'm a Christian, so I know, right? So it doesn't in any way stop the salvation process. I mean, if that makes sense, because the issue they're going to have is someone is a man transgendered to a woman or transsexual into a woman, and then he wants to get married as a transsexual woman, and he goes to marry a man. I mean, does that make him gay? If he goes to marry, does that make him gay because of his actual sex is... or gender is man, so him getting married to a man makes him gay. But now he has he has moved to being a woman. If he wants to get married to a woman, that's still lesbianism. So, I mean,
I think we're moving too fast. And this is a very delicate topic, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
Because we're speaking, two of us are speaking.
We have 2 minutes for the question and answer. So I think we may have to just do a part two or something.
Maybe. I think the issue is, especially when it comes to salvation, let me answer that question first of all. Salvation, as the Bible describes it, has nothing to do with... The Bible says whosoever, let's start from there, right? Whosoever believes will not perish, but have eternal life. And how do you get saved, right? You believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, and you confess that Christ, God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved.
Yeah.
So the agency of salvation doesn't change.
Yeah.
But when they come into the church, that's when it becomes complicated, because now Mark has done a transsexual, you know, he has done trans surgery or something, and Mark is now Martha. You know, so when they come into the church, should they be called Martha or should they be called Mark? You know, that's a delicate topic. Or like, you know, how would the church relate to them? Are they a man or a woman? But here's the thing. I kind of see it in the same way I would see someone who maybe bodily, they have their arm amputated, but they're in the church, right? No miracle has happened. They're not healed. The arm doesn't grow back. Now, there's something wrong physically. The Christian faith says that there is a time that is coming when Christ returns, when there will be a new body.
Okay.
And that body would still have sex. Yeah. We still have a sex. Like, God has designed that humanity should reveal him both in his masculinity and femininity, if I can put it that way. Yeah. So a man and woman need to be there. So if you're a woman on earth here, when you receive a new body, it's still a woman's body, yeah, though a different way. And yeah, so that's how we should see this.
Yeah.
While on the earth, Romans 8 basically defines all of this as the earth is groaning, creation is groaning. We're waiting,
yeah,
till the true nature of ours is revealed, the true nature of the sons of God. And that's when we receive our new body. So my hope, my message to the transgender person or someone who has had this operation or change or is still struggling,
mm-hmm,
with this gender dysphoria,
mm-hmm,
the simple message is, hey, when you are in Christ, you can have a hope of a new body. There is, okay, a time that is coming that you will never struggle with all these anymore. But while you are in church and in Christ, you focus on him and allow him to work in you. I mean, that's the basic message.
Okay. So, I will ask one more question because we don't have so many questions. So I'm going to ask another question. So if there is a fundamental, I won't say this may not be the fundamental problem of the church, but a lot of people perceive the church as being very judgmental.
Yeah.
So now what you have spoken about is scripture. What you have spoken about is what, was said in the time of old. But right now, when you have people who are insensitive, people who look at you with disdain because of your whatever you have done, right, as a transgender or as a transsexual. But the question is, how do you encourage people who somehow, are transgender or transsexual, but now in the church, but are facing deep stigmatization from people who are Christians and who their faith bases on two things: love God as with your heart and love your neighbor as yourself.
Right. I think the fundamental problem is many Christians don't understand what they've been saved from, and they don't understand that that the same it's an issue of take out the speck in your eye before you take out the log within another person's eye. The Christian is not someone who says, oh, I'm completely in my own self, perfect. No, the Christian holds on to the perfection of Jesus Christ, right? We know in ourselves that there is that war, against the flesh and the spirit and all of that going on.
Yeah.
But in reality, we have a new life. We have a new nature that's been given to us. Yeah. And then we're looking forward to that. If the Christian understands that the only reason they have that new nature is because of the love they first received from God and from Christ and what he did, I think they would love better. So it's a thing of educating the body of Christ more and saying, hey, don't be transphobic.
Okay.
Like, understand what's going on here. They are not any different from you. Don't think because it's all new and it's like, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as every other.
Okay, so this is a message to the church saying, do not be transphobic. Love these people as you love any other person, right?
Yeah, and walk with them. I think it's more than just loving. So it's like, be there for them.
Before we take this question on how do you classify these words, male, female, man, and woman, I want to also talk on something. Someone who has gone through this medical assistance, who is now a transsexual, and now in the church. You know, there is a concept of, detransitionize or something like that, right?
Detransitioning.
Detransitioning. So is it in the best interest of the person or in the best interest of the church to say, you know what, now you have done what you have done, you're transsexual, now you want to come to the church, I advise you, or I think it's best for you to, go back to where you came from, go back to the hospital, fix this up, and then come back. So, do you think it's necessary? I'm asking you, do you think it's necessary for someone who's a transsexual, who is now a Christian, to go back and the transition and whatever the word is.
Sorry.
Bless you.
My answer to that is I don't think it's necessary. And I think it goes to without, I mean, just think about the damage. It's not, see, maybe if there's any medical student here, maybe I can ask you.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You've done a surgery and you are going back. You can't be the same anymore.
Okay.
It's honestly, it's like, and that's the thing. You see, that's why we have to tell the truth to people. A lot of people are being deceived into thinking, oh, it's my body, my choice.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not. Don't think like that. Someone that created you defined what you should be.
This
and
is a message.
You don't look into yourself for discovery.
This is the message to Christians, right? This is we're in Christ.
To the world.
To the world.
This is the message to everybody.
Okay. So one question we have here, I think you can also see with me, is how do you classify this world as male, female, man, and woman?
Okay. You want me to answer that?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, so I think one has to do more, this is more of a scientific thing. Like when you say male, it's almost like it's almost similar to that small line between gender and sex.
Yeah.
It's more like male would characterize the masculine form, while man is more human. I don't know how to explain that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the dictionary will kind of give them the same meaning.
Okay.
I don't know. Except there was something else the person meant to ask.
I mean, I think this question came from the... The difference between gender and sex. So I think that's where this question came from. But I think for me, I feel that the same thing, right? I feel that the same thing, because when God created man, he said he made them male and female. And then it was Adam who named Eve woman from me, if I'm right on that. Now, another question here is same person. And others related to it, be it a social definition or a biological. Okay, this is
I think it's the same question.
It's the same question.
But yeah, I think I get the context now. So he's saying, how do you classify these words, male, female, man, woman, and others related to it be it a societal definition or the biological makeup? So I think there's something we forgot to say at the very beginning, that there is this whole movement. It's been long ago, but now it's gaining a lot of traction, which is the LGBTQ. It's even LGBTQ plus right now, because the world has come to a point of confusion. Like, okay, so it's not male and female anymore. So we have a lot of other kinds.
Two-spirited.
So there's trans male, cis male. Yeah. In fact, they tell us we can't call ourselves ordinary males. We have to say cis male. Because now they are trans males.
Whatever.
And then, you know, the burden of, you know, wondering about what pronoun to call a person. I mean, at work, one of the things they tell us to do is, you know, I mean, although I've never encountered it, but at work, it's like you don't just call anybody by any pronoun. You have to be sure what pronoun they would like to be called by. So some
people, at Amazon.
Yeah. I mean, because it's a diverse place, different people from different diversity is the key thing, you know, race and all of that. So I've personally just what I've seen is we're confused
generation. I'm telling you, like,
we're a confused generation.
So you
go on Facebook, let me say this one, go on Facebook and try to specify your gender or your sexual preference or something. You'll be confused because they're like 58 plus.
So
where are we going?
Okay, so hold on. So when you see someone at work, you're kind of wondering, is this guy male, trans male? I mean, what the hell are you? I mean,
that's honestly how it feels. And okay. but one thing is calling them their names is what I do. So I don't have the issue of pronoun.
So
I just call them by their names.
Okay.
But I've been in a situation, I know this would be very nice for you to hear. I've been in a situation where I went for a camp while I was still, you know, doing my master's, and I went with these people for a leadership summit. And one of the ladies, they had a tag. On that tag was they/them. So that's what she wants to be identified as. Not him or her, not any of those things. They or them. So you can't say, oh, you know, she was there. No,
like them there.
They were there.
Okay.
And if you say she, it's called hate speech. It's called you are not considering the other person.
We have to talk about hate speech a whole later. So I think if no one else has a question, if no one else has anything to say, which means we want to believe we are more clear on this. But then I just ask you, do you think we should do, a part two on this? I mean, is there things you think?
I feel this is a topic that still needs to come up again, especially maybe not from the transgenderism angle, maybe from other angles, sexuality generally.
Okay. So since we have no question, and I believe everybody understands this, and it's what we have here in A to D is we give you a 1 minute full speech, just cover up everything at the same time. One, just summarize everything you have to say, summarize everything as regards to transgenderism and the church in 1 minute. Your time starts now.
All right. So basically, all I've said is that transgenderism is gaining a lot of cultural traction right now. Yeah. And as the church, we can genuinely account for, you know, the fact that someone can feel different in their own body, because it's a legit problem, and we're not saying it's not. We're saying that it's possible to have those deep feelings of not feeling like you're in the right place. And then the Bible makes it clear, Romans chapter 8, the world is groaning, creation is groaning, everything is out of place, and so that's expected. But we have a hope. And that's what the church is preaching, the message of hope, that, hey, you might be in this body, you know, cradled and overwhelmed with sin and just confusion and all of that. But there is hope that the redemption of our body is coming. And so we call to everyone. We call to the unbeliever, and we call also to the believer still. And we say, you know, be in Christ, hold on to Christ. He's the only solution. We're not saying that coming to Christ will radically change your body or anything. We're saying no. Holding on to Christ it gives you confidence that you're going to be perfect as He is perfect.
Okay.
That's our message.
All right. Thank you very much, Enes. Thank you very much, everyone. Just to say, next week we're going to be having someone else speak on World War One, World War Two, and how it helped in technological advancement. So we expect you to still call people. We expect you to still bring in people, invite your friends. We expect to trash out the issue, and we expect you to be among our. And we expect to enlighten you. So, Enes Olusoyan, thank you very much. And we are going to talk about this in a game sometime. Maybe not next week. Maybe not next 2 weeks. But we're going to talk about this whole stuff again. But we're going to talk about it from a different angle. And one thing that I have come to understand from what we have said now is, at the end of the day, the foundation of the Christian faith is come as you are, and Christ will make you who He wants you to be in Christ, and God will make who He wants you to be in Christ, right? And I feel like in the concept of transgenderism, I feel like there's a whole lot of movements. You see this in novels, you see this in movies. I mean, they just want, it always has to be in your face. But we as the church, what we have said is, we as the church, we have to be firm in our principles, which means we're not going to stagger at it. And when someone comes to us, I mean, not to us, but to Christ, we are supposed to be loving, and we're supposed to accept them as no matter how they come. And, I believe that everyone who has come here has left here enlightened, and I would like you to send a private message saying, yes, I enjoyed it, so that I know that what we are doing here is really working. So once again, thank you very much. I appreciate all of you. I appreciate you, Enes Olusoyan, and I hope to see you again. So bye.
Thank you everyone. For what you're doing.
Yeah.
As well, keep it up. Thank you.
Thank you. So this is an A to D talk show, where we talk about controversial issues, we deliberate on them, and we leave you to make the decision. Good night, everyone, and have a great day. Bye.